Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. It's good to have you with us. On the way to this conversation, I want to remind you all to join me tonight at from 7 to 9 p.m. for our final, just for the summer, in our series of good food gatherings. We have gained momentum with each of our four town hall meetings, building to this Acting Well good food gathering where we'll explore the actions and projects from community gardens to working on policy issues and more, in which individuals and congregations can join together to create real systemic change around food issues in our city and state. That's tonight at 7 p.m. at the Netivot Shalom Congregation, 7602 Labyrinth Road in Pikesville. And it's a great crowd of people, multi-generational, multi-racial, multi-religious, in that panel to talk about the future of our food. Please join us tonight at 7 o'clock. And we'd love to have you be there as part of that conversation. We are now turning our conversation here to what is going on with the NSA. The Washington Post did a fairly in-depth piece where they looked into the NSA and the things they were finding out about us that have nothing to do with politics and what they're keeping about us. And we're going to examine that and what this means in its larger context. Sue Udry is with us. She is Executive Director of Defending Dissent Foundation. Welcome back, Sue. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks to be here.
Shahid Buttar is with us, Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Shahid, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. It's Shahid for your reference.
Shahid, I'm sorry. Shahid, I apologize. Shahid, I won't make that mistake again. And Norman Solomon is with us.
No worries.
Is Executive Director of the Institute for Public Advocacy and Coordinator of the ExposedFacts.org. And Norman, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Your pleasure. Thank you.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888, with your thoughts. And one of the things that I was thinking about as I was looking at this is that it's such a complex issue, Sue Udry, that I was reading in the New York Times this morning about whether or not Obama was left in the dark about spying on Chancellor Merkel of Germany. And it just it leads you to show what I took out from this, which was not in the article, which was just the kind of immense power that our information gathering and intelligence agencies have. And I think sometimes we, the people, are not really aware of the enormity and the spread of the power that they do have in the society.
You're absolutely right. But I would argue that it's not really a complex issue. I think we've got intelligence agencies who are allowed to gather without suspicion information about Americans. And it extends, of course, beyond the NSA. My particular concern is the FBI and the way that they infiltrate activist groups and really run amok and harass and entrap people just based on their political activity without, people who aren't committing any crime at all. So to me, it's actually pretty darn simple. The intelligence agencies are spying on us without any reason, and they're using their powers to really crush the ability to dissent and participate in our democracy.
One of the things that was said on the show the other day, Shahid, was in a conversation we had on a news roundup, and most of the guests on that show were kind of looking at this piece that was in the Washington Post, and their response was, well, that may be the price we have to pay for our security. And I think that may be a response of a lot of people in our country.
Could I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sue's right. It really is a very simple issue, and people who think that it has anything to do with security, quite frankly, are confused. Unfortunately, two different executive independent review panels have been unable to document a single instance when NSA surveillance ever actually helped stop a real terror plot. And if you scroll back to the 9/11 Commission report, intelligence collection was never cited as a failure that enabled the attacks. It was intelligence sharing. And if anything, in the wake of the Snowden leaks, the agencies have locked down their intelligence sharing mechanisms. So the paradigm of the actual intelligence operational side of the fence is just back to where it was before 9/11 anyway, except that now they have all this access to the private, not just communications, but ultimately thoughts of Americans. And you don't have to look any further than documented U.S. history to see repeated, recurring, and ongoing proof that our nation's intelligence agencies are recidivists, criminal agencies who return to their crimes. The last time anyone looked very carefully when the Church and the Pike Committees investigated the FBI and the CIA, they found wanton criminality that unfortunately, has recurred. And you know, to be quite honest, it was before even the Bush administration. It was under the Clinton administration when the witch hunt, targeting radical environmentalists started, and it's grown only worse since then to encompass peace activists, to encompass Muslims, to continue to target radical environmentalists and increasingly people from other social movements, and including libertarians. You know, supporters of Ron Paul have been tagged by DHS-funded agencies as domestic terror threats. And I think it's a very disturbing prospect to think about where that leads. You know, security can be the knife in the back of a democracy. That's exactly what the founders of our nation feared, and that's exactly what President Eisenhower feared, and it's exactly what we're witnessing under our feet today.
And that was Norman Solomon, to be correct, so people can understand who just spoke here. And
that was Shahid.
That was Shahid. I'm sorry. I'm going to get my voices right. That was my mistake. I'm sorry. So, Norman, let me let you jump in here with this. I think that, because what Shahid was saying, I was thinking about how this goes back into the depths of American society for the last 60, 70 years, before that as well, but really in the last 60, 70 years intensely, and that this it is what technology has brought to the table. The ability to look into our daily lives has enhanced this ability so much, I think that the danger has risen exponentially.
Yeah, the technology has enhanced the interest and the lack of political accountability of those at the top, particularly the executive branch, to execute a tremendously dangerous aggregation of power. You could say that there has developed not only the psychological and political sort of God complex that those who run the U.S. government should know what we're doing, what we're saying, to hear us, to see us increasingly. And when you look at the consequences, you see the, in practice, tremendous damage being inflicted on the First Amendment, such as the de facto free press provisions, the Fourth Amendment in terms of being secure in our persons and possessions and daily lives, and also due process, which is not supposed to be whatever the president decides to do. And yet we have this tremendous damage being done, and we know or should know that you only have genuine democracy not through the form and the pretense of consent of the governed, but the informed actual consent of the governed based on information. And that's why the revelations, not only from Edward Snowden, but for instance from other people who have been whistleblowers at agencies such as the NSA, people, heroic people like William Binney, like Kirk Wiebe, like Thomas Drake, it's so important that the press be vigilant and that whistleblowers step forward to protect our basic civil liberties.
So I want to go back to something where I started a moment ago, because I really want to kind of delve into where we are before we talk about the specifics of what this new report said and what it might portend for the intelligence gathering on just regular American citizens who are not involved in anything. Which is this this notion of security that I think I started off with when Sue you responded first, which is that, I mean, we since 9/11, I think we have something happened to the American consciousness, and we began to really change in terms of what we're willing to accept. I mean, I remember because it was after the Vietnam War and after COINTELPRO and after what we saw what. America did to undermine governments and to undermine its own citizens and to go after Panthers and go after the Indian movement and go after people who were opposing the Vietnam War and more, that the Church Commission really delved into the FBI and CIA and began to put on some controls with some oversight from the congressional committees because of the horrendous nature of what happened under Nixon and Johnson and that whole era. So, but since 9/11, with the fear of what happened in the United States on that day, and then the wars that were created in this aftermath, that's kind of changed the consciousness, I think, and you can see from the polls that people are kind of very nervous of what could happen to them. And so when that happens, people begin to accept more, I think, Shahid, what happens around them than they would normally.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, there is an ignorance of history. And quite frankly, the civic principles here, I think a lot of people forget quite frankly, the implication of privacy. You were asking Norman about the evolution of the technology. And in simpler technological eras, people understood how dangerous surveillance is. And nobody thought that the East German Stasi was innocuous. Nobody thought that the KGB in the former Soviet Union was innocuous. Why the domestic intelligence agencies in the U.S. that have even more formidable powers that are just as unaccountable, just as secret, possibly so far not yet as pervasively abused, but the problem is that the abuses are inevitable behind the veil of secrecy. And the extent of the harm has only expanded with the technology. And here's what people forget. It's not just the kind of privacy that's offended if somebody's, you know, watching you shower, you know, they're like a peeping Tom. It's not just that kind of privacy at stake. It's also the kind of privacy that enables democracy. That's the kind of privacy that the First and the Fourth Amendments of the U.S. Constitution aim to construct. That's the kind of privacy that the Supreme Court has recognized as protected in the Constitution. It's that kind of privacy, public privacy, the possibility for people to embrace unpopular opinions. And from that, for our democracy to stay vibrant, that is the interest that the NSA is driving a stake through the heart of. And I think it's a much more vast crime than simply abusing someone's rights, or even the rights of 300 million Americans, or for that matter, lying to Congress to protect their own powers and budgets. I mean, this is a crime of the worst conceivable sort, because it's against our democracy, and it is unfortunately endemic across public agencies, employing tens of thousands of people, sucking up billions of dollars a year from a federal budget in crisis. And that's why I think I agree with Sue. It's such a simple issue. I can't think of a single reason why we would maintain these powers in the face of the litany of constitutional, fiscal, and social cultural problems that pervade secret, unaccountable mass surveillance.
So I'm curious what all of you think. I'll start with Sue and then go over to Norman in this next round here. Just what you all think is acceptable, and what to do to contain it, and how should we approach this whole question of our privacy and intelligence. Sue?
Oh, well, I think the first step is that it's absolutely unacceptable that the way we're finding out about the way these authorities are being used and abused is through whistleblowers. This is really the chore of Congress, to be conducting oversight and to know and to understand what our intelligence agencies are doing with the authorities that Congress may or may not have given them. So my first demand would be that Congress step up and actually do some oversight. We're long overdue for another church committee, something that BORDC and DDF have been calling for years before the Snowden revelations even hit the newspapers. So I think it's pretty simple. The intelligence agencies can't and shouldn't be gathering information about U.S. persons without a warrant. Simple. It's in the Constitution. They need a reasonable cause to be spying on people.
Something I would add here is that what's acceptable is the rule of law. And what is totally unacceptable, and we've got to reject, is this renegade from the top-down governance that behaves as though people in power have the right to look at and listen to everybody in terms of what they're saying and doing in their lives, in gross violation of the most basic tenets of the Bill of Rights of this country. This is driven from the top down. There's not a huge groundswell from the bottom saying, we want you to violate these fundamental rights. And while I certainly agree that Congress has been tremendously derelict and must be called upon to step forward and provide oversight in the proper way rather than the other meaning of oversight, which is to intentionally or unintentionally refuse to exercise their basic congressional separation of powers and responsibility, the fact is that it is because of whistleblowers and the news media, to the extent they've stepped up to the plate, which has been variable at best, that we know what's being done in our name with our tax dollars. And I want to add that just in the last few days, more than a dozen billboards have gone up in the nation's capital from the organization that I work as part of, ExposeFacts.org. Quoting Daniel Ellsberg, we have one a block from the White House. We have one next to the State Department, urging people to step forward if they have information, if they have documents that the public has a right to know, that they step forward and provide that information as whistleblowers, as citizens of our country. And I want to invite everybody listening to go to our site to find out more information about how to do that confidentially, which is ExposeFacts.org. That's ExposeFacts.org.
And that's important. I'm glad you got it out there, and we'll put that on our website as well, Norman Solomon, so people can link to that and see what you're doing and get involved. And, of course, do the same for DefendingDissent.org and the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, because this is important work that you all are doing out here. But we talked about not using this First Amendment, Shahad, and you know, when you read this article in the Washington Post about what's going on in the NSA now, one of the things they made it clear, they have these two programs, one called Upstream, one called Prism, that stores all these user accounts from Yahoo, Facebook, Google, and other kind of internet companies, and all this information on us. We don't know how many, maybe up to 900,000 places, maybe more than that, 900,000 people, maybe more. And it's not done through FISA, the court. It's not done through any regulation at all. It's just being done.
Yeah, the NSA collects 1.7 billion, with a B, electronic intercepts on a daily basis. It is staggering to contemplate the mass that the agency is sucking up. And this is all data, as far as we know, that's retained. And on the point before where Sue and Norman differed, I would, with respect, side with Sue on this. And I think that we're all aligned, obviously, in our criticism of the NSA. And the question at some point is, what is Congress's role? And I would just say this. We don't have any idea what is being done to us. Snowden revealed something. How what he got relates to the iceberg is anyone's guess. And quite frankly, no one has any idea. And we know that because when the architects of the Patriot Act in Congress found out the little bit that Snowden revealed, what they said is, what the hell? We didn't authorize this, right? That's what the USA Freedom Act came out of, was the reaction by the authors of the Patriot Act to the very first of the dozens of Snowden revelations, which have exposed some of the programs you're talking about, Upstream and Prism. And you're right, these are flatly unconstitutional, even if they were authorized by statute, which they are not. In fact, they were expressly prohibited by the statute that Congress passed after the Church Committee investigation. Those would still be illegal powers because they violate the supreme law of the land. A couple of points just to make here quickly. A minute ago, you asked, what would our preferred paradigm be?
Yes.
Mine is three words, and I'll quote the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, get a warrant. It's not that hard.
What'd you say, Shahad? Say that again. Say that again.
Get a warrant. The Chief Justice wrote that in Riley versus U.S. last week or 2 weeks ago with respect to searches of cell phones, incident to arrest. And his point is absolutely right. We claim to be the leader of the free world. What does that mean in practice? Look, to act like that, to walk that talk, means restraints on runaway executive power. Your listeners, particularly in Maryland, have enormous influence over these issues because you live in the state that is the headquarters of the NSA,
Fort
Meade, outside Laurel, and there is a bill in the Maryland state legislature that would aim to shut off the water and power to the data center at Fort Meade. You don't have to wait for Congress. You in Maryland and your counterparts, particularly Americans in Utah, where the NSA has its other anchor facility, where there is also a bill to do exactly the same thing, you have extraordinary influence. And I would just invite anyone concerned about these issues, especially in Maryland, to get involved. And you can reach us at organizing at BORDC, Bill of Rights Defense Committee, BORDC.org. We're looking for you.
Now, let me chime in there. You don't need to wait for Congress. That's absolutely right. And it would be a tremendous mistake to wait for Congress because, in theory, yes, Congress will provide oversight. But in the real world, it would be a mistake to believe that Congress is in some way on the verge of providing proper oversight to agencies like the NSA. The USA Freedom Act, as it came out of the House, was badly damaged. We're not getting the kind of responsible legislation or oversight from the House or the Senate of the United States. That's why all people can take responsibility, not to wait for Congress. While we lobby Congress, we can't wait for it. That's why journalists need to fight to get information out. That's why whistleblowers need to speak up. That's why we need to demand every way we can that our rights be protected rather than violated.
Absolutely. I would say I have a music video out, actually, for a new dance track titled NSA versus USA, and the closing riff is, we can force any agency to make a new choice when we build a movement, each raising our voice. And in the video, you know, we depict a banner drop off the highway overpass outside the NSA headquarters, you know, light brigade outside the White House spelling stop spying with a hashtag in front of it. You know, there are a million ways to raise your voices today. And it's critical that we all do it. This is not something we can defer to our elected representatives. Norman's absolutely right.
So we have only like a minute left in this segment. But Sue, I want to bring you back in for a closing thought about just the danger here and what you think we should be doing as well.
Yeah, well, I think Norman and Shahid hit it right on the head. We need to, obviously, we don't need to wait for Congress, and people need to speak out and people need to voice their concerns. There might be a segment of the American population that does have the attitude that, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. Who cares if they spy on me? But people who are enlightened and understand the way democracy works, the way Shahid pointed out, we can't accept that. And people who care and people who understand need to raise their voices and be heard.
Well, I want to thank the three of you. This has been a really important discussion, and I want to follow up on some things that you were saying, Shahid, about the Maryland State Legislature in Utah. As we get closer to the legislative session, we'll bring that one back up and bring you all three back on way before that to continue this conversation, bring it out to the public, both in this kind of discussion and in debate, because we have to wrestle and grapple with this, because it is our freedom at stake. It is the future at stake, and I encourage you all to go to these websites. It will be on our website, steinershow.org. Sue Edry, who's Executive Director of Defending Dissent Foundation, will have that at defendingdissent.org on our website. Shahid Buttara, who is Executive Director of Bill of Rights Defense Committee, that will also be on our website. Norman Solomon, Executive Director of the Institute for Public Accuracy, Coordinator of ExposeFacts.org, and that activist group will also be on our website. Thank you all three so much for joining us for this segment of the Mark Steiner Show.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. We're going to take a very brief break and come right back. It is that time of the week for talking about the city paper. We are family. We'll be right back.